Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, this is Liberty Lisa, and tonight we'll be playing a rebroadcast for Leap Here the Mouth. Leap Here is actually no longer doing Last Voice for Liberty on Mondays, at least for the time being. Let's see here. So I just need to find a rebroadcast for him. I haven't done one of these for him yet. We love Leap Here. He's still on the Friday Night Super Show. He's definitely a key player and actually a partner here at Truth Emerges Radio. So thanks for joining in. I'm going to try to find a show to play. I'm going to play something real quick, and then as soon as I can find the rebroadcast.
Now I probably got some other group pissed off at me because I said fruit. There's a different group to get pissed off at you in this country for everything you're not supposed to say. Can't say fruit, can't say faggot, can't say queer, can't say Nancy boy, can't say pansy. Can't say nigger, boogie, jig, jigaboo, skinhead, jungle, bunny, mooly, moulinyan, or schwatzer. Can't say yid, heeb, zeeb, kike, mocky, dago, guinea, wop, ginzo, greaser, greaseball, spick, beaner, oye, tiger, PR, mick, donkey, turkey, limey, frog, squarehead, kraut, jerry, hun, chink, jack, nip, slope, slopehead, zip, zipperhead, goof. There is absolutely nothing wrong. There is absolutely nothing wrong with any of those words in and of themselves. They're only words. It's the context that counts. It's the user. It's the intention behind the words that makes them good or bad. The words are completely neutral. The words are innocent. I get tired of people talking about bad words and bad language. Bullshit. It's the context that makes them good or bad. The context that makes them good or bad. For instance, you take the word nigger. There is absolutely nothing wrong with the word nigger in and of itself. It's the racist asshole who's using it that you ought to be concerned about. We don't care when Richard Pryor or Eddie Murphy say it. Why? Because we know they're not racist. They're niggers. Context.
Okay, welcome back to the St. Thomas Show here on blogtalkradio.com/TruthEmergesRadioNetwork. I'm going to go ahead and bring on Lori Handrahan. Welcome on to the Sunny Thomas Show again.
Hey, Sunny. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, very much. I have to say that, not to toot my horn, but...
Yeah.
if you can control the situation depending on your photographer, and I have very good photographers, but no, I don't.
How young?
Sorry, I don't.
How young was the youngest victim?
Sorry, I don't.
How young was the youngest?
How young? Sorry, I don't. How young was the youngest victim?
All right. Welcome, everybody, to the Truth Emerges Network and Guerrilla Radio. It's time, baby. It's time.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Things have got to change.
How many stations does this go out?
You've
got to
get mad.
67.
You've got to say,
I know it goes to Louisville and Atlanta.
We're not going to take this anymore. Then we'll figure out what to do about the depression and the inflation and the oil crisis. But first, get up out of your chair, open the window, stick your head out and yell, and say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Who are you talking to, Hurt?
CGG Atlanta.
Are they yelling in Atlanta, sir?
Are they yelling in Atlanta, Ted?
But first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
They're yelling in Baton Rouge.
God damn it. Get up, get up, get up out of your...
Son of a bitch! We struck the mother lode!
Stick your head out of the window, open it, then stick your head out and keep yelling and yell, I'm as mad as hell, I'm not going to take this anymore.
Log Talk Radio.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
We will lie to go to war.
We can continue the way we've been going, accumulate more and more big government, assume that the people won't take care of themselves, but it's coming to an end.
Always remember, dissension's the greatest form of patriotism. Thomas Jefferson said that.
Don't obey authority until you thought it out.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
We will lie to go to war.
We can continue the way we've been going, accumulate more and more big government, assume that the people won't take care of themselves, but it's coming to an end.
Always remember, dissension's the greatest form of patriotism. Thomas Jefferson said that.
Don't obey authority until you thought it out and then you decided about it.
If you're seeing everything you see, you think you're not deceived. Now you say you have the will to speak. but you're not saying anything.
And now, coming to you live from the world famous albino raccoon recording studio, it's the Last Voice for Liberty Network. And here is your host, The Mouth.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Greetings and salutations out there to all my fellow patriots. For once again, it is time. The Last Voice for Liberty back here on the air. I am your host, The Mouth. Baby's laughing and scratching at you on this quote-unquote holiday edition of The Last Voice for Liberty, coming at you live from the world-famous albino raccoon recording studio.
Deep inside the lower intestine of a sperm whale.
Oh, God! God! I can't stand it! Make the pain stop!
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I know all of you out there love and enjoy having a Monday where nobody makes you go slave for your fiat currency or anything else of that nature. You get to stuff yourself full of beer and barbecue and have a good old time. What is this quote-unquote holiday really about? Seems to me to be about a gigantic crime being perpetrated on not just us, but our children, our children's children. It was perpetrated on our parents and our grandparents as well. You see, kids, I've been promoting this show over the past couple days here, talking about five reasons why this, like I said, quote-unquote holiday. I refuse to call it an actual holiday because holidays usually, kind of bring up good type of feelings, and there's no reason in hell that this day should bring up any type of good feelings in anybody. I'm going to tell you why. As a matter of fact, it should be bringing up feelings of sadness and anger. See, some of the people out there have taken this as a personal shot at those who would enlist. I want to make this perfectly clear right now. Both my father and my uncle were in the Navy. Okay, they served. My uncle went to Vietnam. My dad was a couple years younger. So it's not that I have anything personal against people who decide to enlist in the armed forces. I can't. Look at the wonderful picture of heroic patriotism it paints. Who would blame somebody for wanting to lay down that quote-unquote ultimate sacrifice? Especially under the guise of defending freedoms in the Constitution. But when I point these fallacies in this ideology out, when I point out the truths of what our soldiers are actually fighting for, called me un-American, stupid, ignorant, terrorist, scumbag, asshole. People call me that one anyway, but that's beside the point. See, but many who share my view, not myself personally, but many who share my view and post about this in social media have been threatened with violence, rape, all sorts of specific hatred directed at them. Some of them have even been hacked and reported to the almighty government. But I don't hate these misguided people. I can't. It's not in me to do. See, there's a reason that we started all this, that I started doing this, is because, well, damn it, I don't see the direction that we're going as a country, as a people, on this same mass of land. I don't see it as a positive thing. In fact, I see it as a negative thing. So no, I do not hate you misguided flaggots and patriots and whatever have you. I don't hate you. I'm actually trying to help you. Believe it or not, I am. See, with these five reasons, kids, I'm going to, kind of bring this harsh truth to you. I'm going to try and do it as nicely as possible. I get told that I sound a bit condescending, but, I'm sorry. When you're a high school dropout, father of four and working class, you know, pretty much, you know, jerk of all trades, you feel like everyone else should know stuff before you do. I feel like I should be, you know, the Dio song, the last in line to know this stuff. But yet here I am on the radio reporting this stuff to you that I think that you should have already known. Unfortunately, the rabbit hole goes so deep, and the indoctrination, the propaganda, and the brainwashing has gone so far that I have to do this. Not that I want to. Hell, I want to get on radio and talk music and play old Steely Dan tunes and what have you. But no. I got into radio, and what did I see? I saw all the corruption. I saw the tyranny. I saw the terror going on against my fellow countrymen and women. And, you know, being a father of four, I'm sitting, the big picture shoots right into your brain at that moment in time. What am I leaving my children? And you feel that deep emptiness within yourself. You're like, I can't believe that I let it get this far this late in my life. Here I am near 40 years old, still trying to fight, still trying to do right, trying to help guide others to the truth. And tonight, that's what we're going to do when we talk about this little, this day. That's just what I'm going to refer to it until I think of something more clever to call it. See, this harsh truth, it's painful. It's heartbreaking, gut-wrenching, utterly friggin' devastating, man. When I came across it, I had to sit beside myself, shed a few tears, because damn it, they're worth shedding over this. Before I get into these five reasons, ladies and gentlemen, before I get to the meat of what this whole freaky horror show is, I want to stress something to each and every one of you out there, all right? I don't like this any more than you. I am not endorsing or hating upon people when I express this truth. I'm saying it because you need to friggin' know it. And damn it, if no one else is going to get out there and tell you, if your school teachers aren't going to tell you, if your parents aren't going to tell you, then I will be that asshole that you can hate. But damn it, you need to know. If we're going to put an end to our children's warrantless sacrifice. And that's what I see when I see soldiers fighting abroad nowadays, is our children sacrificing themselves for no good, valid, beneficial reason to the American people. And in order to save them from this garbage, we have to acknowledge this truth, kids. Now I'm going to start it off where I began when I started promoting this show. And these first four reasons are fairly simple and fairly explanatory in their own right. As we start with number five here, everyone says, the government especially, this is their mandate, their decree. Memorial Day is when we remember all the soldiers who fought and died for our freedom. Fact number one. They didn't fight and die for freedom. They fought for corporate interests. No American has fought and died for freedom since the Civil War. Put this in your heads and put it in there quick. The United States government was incorporated in 1871 by the Act of 1871, ladies and gentlemen. Understand that first. Keep that in your head as I continue on with this. Incorporated in 1871. Think about that now. As we continue on, we're going to go to number four. Memorial Day should be remembered. If you want to honor the deaths of these people, why aren't we honoring their deaths by questioning anyone calling for more of them? I can tell you why some of you aren't. Because you get scared or berated and backed into a damn corner where your instincts take over that have been, you know, conditioned into your psyche, and you cower and hide. Oh, okay, it's all right. If you say it's for freedom, then it's okay. Question the motives behind government's decisions to send our young men and women into harm's way. Question our government's decision to put them on our streets against our people. Question these things. If you truly honor these young men and women who have died supposedly defending your freedom, you might question to make sure that no more of them have to go and die, because we sure aren't gaining freedoms. We're losing them at rapid pace. Reason number three, and I'm going to pull a quote from Ron Paul. Yes, I know. Status, 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 and status, status, because flag, flag, roads, flag. But I'm going to use this quote from Ron Paul and ask this question. Is there any worse mistreatment of the military than sending them overseas in an operation that is in no way connected to the defense of the United States? And I've seen it all day on social media posted. These soldiers died defending your freedoms. No, you didn't. There was nothing in most of these subsequent wars since the turn of the century, kids, since the Civil War, that they defended our freedoms in. Think about this. If you don't believe me, we're going to get into that here shortly. Reason number two here, before we get into number one, this one's a little bit lengthy, but there's some points that need to be pointed out. It's like really 18 or a good chunk of reasons all combined into one. And I want you to think about each thing that I say here, kids. Think about it. Search your feelings, Luke. You know it to be true. You can't build a house without the government's permission. You can't eat food without the government's permission. You can't drive a car without the government's permission. You can't own a gun without the government's permission. You can't go fishing without the government's permission. You can't get married without the government's permission. You can't work without the government's permission. You can't leave the country without the government's permission. You can't start a business without the government's permission. You can't fly on a commercial plane without the government's permission. You can't take drugs without the government's permission. You can't even cross the damn street without the government's permission. How free do you feel? We got to get government permission, because I don't know. You know, I might be muling something up my keister. I better go get permission to get on a plane. I don't know, you know, I might build a room 6 inches too big. I better make sure I get the government's permission to build me a house, or I'll just live in an alley. All those things are facts, truths, horrific, terrible truths. Especially when you look and think about the amount of young men and women from this country that we have put in green or brown or tan uniforms, shipped halfway across the country, stuck a rifle in their hand and said, defend freedom. Any soldier listening to that list I just read off for our number two reason why you should be pissed, you should be just as pissed as I am. You should be standing there going, what freedom? Right alongside with us. And there are some soldiers out there that do. Try to find this clip here. I uploaded it. I want to get it played here for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, because it's from a former soldier, one that was in Iraq. As soon as I can figure out where that went. And it's in here somewhere, I'm sure it was. But they know a lot of the soldiers coming back and not reenlisting and not going for another tour are well aware of it. Kids, what I'm going to do right now is, so I don't sit here and, you know, half-ass ramble and, you know, lose this entire point. We're going to play this song. That we debuted it last night on the Arsenal of Sound, Dennis Ford and myself. It's from our good friend Matrix, hip-hop artist up there in New York State, excuse me. Great guy, very smart guy, intelligent. Check out the archive from last night's show. We had great conversations with him. He did a special Memorial Day song. I'm going to get that played. I'm going to find this Soldiers clip and get it ready to go, all queued up for when we come back, ladies and gentlemen. And when we do come back after that, I've got your number one reason as to why you should be pissed off on Memorial Day. On the mouth, this is the Last Voice for Liberty Memorial Day celebration.
Listen for a second. Yeah. Here we go again, another Memorial Day. But how can we celebrate when we're still at war today? We can't. In my opinion, you gonna need some balls to say. I don't support these wars where more and more get slayed. But of course, I do support the lives of the troops. But don't support the politicians. Yeah, they're fighting for you. They're not fighting for me. The conflicts, we don't need them. More about oil and resources and less about our freedom. I feel bad for these young men and women who put their lives on the line just to find out it's about power the whole time. And people back home are just like, oh, it's fine. They died for us, but why'd they even have to die? When each one of them had the whole entire lives ahead of them, any one of those guys could have been the next president. How can we glorify human blood being spilled? How many women and children in the wars are getting killed? I really can't afford to care if you get mad at me. Trust me, every life lost is a huge tragedy. And sometimes I sit and cry because I wonder why. How can organized murder be justified? And we call them heroes if they kill for stripes and stars. But the troops are killers if they're killing ours. I don't condone the enemy, but it's a double standard. And war as a whole is an infectious cancer. Can't have a free society without taking chances. Focus our technology on new weapon advances. Civilians on both sides end up in crossfire. Corporations profit, but what's it cost to buy? Age, why do we act so primitive? Killing each other over worldly things, it's ridiculous. Is this the guilt trip that we want to be living with? Is this bloodshed the height of what our existence is? Hell nah, and it should be all about spreading love. Peace is stronger than nuclear weapons, just get it done. And all it takes is one soldier to say that won't fight, and more will follow him onto the path that is right. And my great uncle lost his life in World War II, and I'll never get to know him cause he didn't make it through. It's a damn shame, but I guess he made his mark. They say he died with honor, he earned a purple heart. But I'd rather speak to him about journeys that he's embarked. But I won't get that chance, so I sit here in the dark. And my cousin Jason, he did tours in Iraq, and I thank God every single day that he made it back. And I have many friends that are on active duty now. I'm praying each night that nobody shoots them down. What really is the cause? Because the danger's real. So companies like Halliburton can make some dollar bills. Is it just me? Or does it seem unjust? Our leaders known to tell lies, but the masses still trust. It is a touchy subject, but I won't shy away. Cause I believe with all my heart, no one needs to die today or any day. So many things that I can say. I truly feel you're pointing your guns the wrong way. On both sides, people in poverty get scammed. And why you think there's no soldier that's a rich man? They're taking advantage of patriotism, making people fight and feel guilty if they didn't. And our government says all these bad guys are coming, but behind the scenes, they're the same ones that fund them. And more people have died for war than any other reason. This shit is crazy. Is it what we truly believe in? Atrocities committed daily, at least I can see them. And when Snowden exposed it, they charged him with treason.
just because I don't believe in these wars fueled by greed and hatred. It's not me. I'm not honoring the souls lost and all the fighting and conflict for the past couple of hundred years. It's Memorial Day. Have a good one. Hope I made you think a little bit.
That's right, kids. Back here on The Last Voice for Liberty, the Mouth. That's a former soldier. I want to get his name right here. I've got it right here in my notes. Mike Christner, former soldier, served in Iraq, and telling you about how it made him and several other soldiers feel. I had a former good friend who, I'm not going to say his name or anything, but he went to Iraq, and when he came back, we would sit and do like we used to do and sit and get drunk together. And everybody knows when alcohol brings out the truth. He would tell me stories about what they would do over there. There were multiple occasions where, over there in that part of the world, people would pull carts around with a mule, what have you. To pass their, sell their wares at the bazaars and everything else. There were several times that it was their job. You got to search through these because sometimes they're smuggling bomb parts through here to try and bomb us. And at that point in time, I was all gung-ho, gung-ho, America, America, America. So I'm thinking, I can understand. I can see that. Hadn't crossed my mind at that point in time in my life that, I wonder why they're trying to bomb you. Probably because you're in their country. But that's neither here nor there. We'll get to this quick story here. Several times they would come across and not find anything. And their CO of their unit would get so irritated about having to come out on these BS missions in a hot desert country. And they would burn their carts along with all their possessions and then chase off their mule or what have you. Does that sound like it was defending your freedom, ladies and gentlemen? Does that sound like it was liberating those people? He laughed all drunk and said, "Oh yes, we liberated many donkeys." See what you will about treatment of donkeys and everything else for working purposes. They took these people's lives, their livelihoods, all their possessions, and lit them on fire. Standing there in the soldier's uniform of the United States of America. They're representing you, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before I kick into this number one reason here, I do have an article that I came across today from our friends over there at the Fifth Column. Great, great bunch of people, real intelligent, real thoughtful, putting a lot of thought and work into the articles that they're publishing. Jen Long has been a part of this show and our newest member of the Friday Night Super Show there. Alex Freeman's been a part of what we've done at the Coalition as well. I came across this article written by Justin King here today. It's called Memorial Day and a Charge of Treason. It's a bit of a long article, but I'm going to read it to you real quick before we get to the number one reason why you should be pissed off. And ladies and gentlemen, it starts like this. Today is Memorial Day. It's appropriate to start with the obligatory definition of what Memorial Day is and isn't. It is not Veterans Day. Today is a day to remember those that actually died in combat. Traditional logic dictates that these soldiers, Marines, sailors, and airmen died for our freedom. How do we celebrate this day of remembrance? Americans typically do one of three things today. They go shopping, they go to a government-sponsored Memorial Day celebration, or they have a barbecue. If today is about honoring those that died to protect our freedoms, does it really make sense to go on a shopping spree and increase the profits of those companies whose bottom lines were the American national interest that prompted many of the recent wars and filled many of the recent graves in Arlington? Does it make sense to go listen to some politician hypocritically speak about honoring those that died for freedom just days after he or she voted in assembly to take those freedoms away. In less than 250 years, the United States has deteriorated from an infant nation filled with rugged individuals that were prepared to go to war with an unrepresentative government over a tax on a breakfast beverage to a nation where we stand idly by while thugs wearing the uniform of an unrepresentative government grab your daughter's genitals at the airport. The men and women that were at the birth of this nation dragged British customs officials through the streets, stripped them naked, and poured hot tar all over their bodies because they tried to commit an unreasonable search. Today, the government has a record of you reading this article and has the ability to kick in your door, terrorize your family, kill your dog, and search your house by obtaining a warrant that requires a rubber stamp signature from a judge, if, that is, the officers choose to get a warrant at all. If you truly want to act in the traditions of those who died to protect this nation's freedoms and honor them, you should probably slap a government employee today. Those politicians in office today love to liken themselves to the founding fathers. They attempt to draw lineage back to those first American statesmen all the time. The fact that today's politician has much more in common with the landed gentry of England during that time. They are a part of the oligarchy that is slowly destroying the American experiment. Every vote that compromises what are supposed to be inalienable rights is another nail in the coffin of this country. It's another step towards what seems to be almost inevitable insurrection. As you know, kids, I've spoken about this many times on the shows. Those soldiers that deployed against U.S. citizens in Ferguson, Baltimore, and elsewhere in the United States crossed the proverbial line in the sand in the eyes of many Americans. Of course, they were told they were dealing with rioters and that it was for the greater good, told that they were enacting martial law. How do you think the order to turn against your own people would come down? Do you think the government would honestly tell you that they want you to betray everything that you stand for? When the order comes down next time, it will be under the guise of defeating domestic terrorists or rioters or some other threat to supposed national security, or maybe it will simply just be a domestic support operation. Excuse me. Your presence, I just lost my place. Your presence helped deny people their constitutionally protected right to free assembly. It doesn't matter how the order comes down. If the end result is you standing on a street corner using the threat of military violence against American citizens, you are no longer a soldier. You have become a traitor. It doesn't matter what reason you are given. If you point your weapon at an American citizen in order to suppress their rights, you are a traitor. If you lend support so that others may point their weapons at American citizens, you are a traitor. There is no way to rationalize or debate your way out of it. No amount of semantics will change the end result. It's still treason. Some people will ask if they should just let the city burn. The answer to that is yes, of course. In the days since the Baltimore riot, President Obama issued an edict designed to pacify the American people. It was touted by the media as the end of the militarization of police. Of course, it didn't ban the mine-resistant anti-personnel vehicles. It didn't ban explosives. It didn't ban surveillance drones. It didn't ban automatic weapons. And it didn't address the unrestrained police violence that we have all been facing. It banned a bunch of equipment that the police don't actually use. It didn't address the problem. Just like in Ferguson, Baltimore showed that riots are almost the only way left to get the attention of the government. Maybe if a major city that sits less than an hour from the Capitol had burned to the damn ground, the government's reform would have actually had some teeth. But that's if you believe in government. Sorry, I'm adding my own lines here. Because the soldiers defended the police state, it's going to take many more deaths and many more riots before any type of meaningful change is enacted. So you can save all the arguments about property damage. We're on the brink of a full-scale insurrection in this country. A wig shop in Ferguson or a bakery in Baltimore might actually be some of the least of the nation's concerns. Every time one of these riots happen, there are solidarity protests in every major U.S. city. That many people in the street agitated with law enforcement is a powder keg. Let's say the next riot is in Cleveland. It probably will be. While that riot is happening, the solidarity protest in L.A. comes under attack by local police, and a riot ensues in L.A. Officers dealing with solidarity protests across the country become nervous. They try to violate the rights of those peacefully protesting and disperse the crowds in their city. The protesters could react violently. The National Guard is called out nationwide. The group's waiting for an inciting incident to see full-scale martial law and begin shooting at the troops. Welcome to the insurrection. We're that close to turning the United States into Bosnia. It's not an outlandish set of circumstances that can lead to this. It could literally happen tomorrow. So don't go slap a government employee today. Instead, hold your barbecue, eat your hot dogs, drink your beer. However, instead of filling the air with mindless chit-chat or talk of sports, discuss the fact that useless things drastically change. A child born today will see an insurgency in this country before they graduate from college. Today, while you're among all of your closest friends and family, is the time to start quietly discussing a question that nobody in the United States wants to answer. What are you going to do when it happens? Where do you stand? Where does your neighbor stand? As terrifying as the possibility of seeing a full-scale violent revolution, insurgency, if you will, is, it may be more terrifying if we don't see it. This nation could continue its slide towards becoming just another too-big dictatorship. And then somebody puts up a post, and this is the one that, wow, it just kind of blew my brain. He said, "I am an American because of the Constitution. Without the Constitution, I am nothing." That stuff just kind of blows my mind. Statists are going to stay. But that article is from Justin King of Fifth Column News. You know, a great article. I felt it necessary to read here today because some of these soldiers that they're deploying into American streets, and I hear it all the time, American soldiers ain't never going to fire on the American people, blee, blee, blee. Why are they even going out there then? Why are American soldiers, you know, patrolling down streets of major U.S. cities, M16s in hand, ready to go? If they're never going to fire on us, then why are they walking around our neighborhoods with guns pointed at us? Think about these things, kids. This stuff needs to start sinking into your brains. I know it sucks. Makes you want to gag. Makes me sick to my stomach to even be sitting here talking about this. But the number one reason that Memorial Day should really piss you off, because it's your damn fault. All of you who refuse to question the motives of your selected officials. All of you who pay taxes, vote, accept welfare, all you CEOs, all you police, all you mailmen, all you firefighters, plumbers, waitresses, teachers, factory workers, farmers, and yes, even you who have enlisted yourselves, it's your fault. The blood of millions, mine as well, my fault as well, I'll take my part of the blame as well. Don't think I'm counting myself out. The blood of millions literally is on our hands. Literally. Why do I say this, kids? Why? Because we have always had the power to stop it. We've always had the ability to question, kids. We always had the right to just say no. No, we don't want to go over to Afghanistan and open fire on children. No, we don't want to go to war just to protect your corporate interests or make Halliburton a few mil. The claim that our modern soldiers are fighting for our freedoms is blatantly, and I mean blatantly, false. If anything, we lose freedoms. And some of you out there, some of you beautiful people out there, so blinded by false patriotism that they even blur the lines when it comes to what freedoms that you can even comprehend. systematic removal of our freedoms, kids, began over 100 years ago, man, with the Act of 1871, as I referred to earlier in the show. The incorporation of our federal government, in fact, stole the government that you think you still have. The government that you think that your soldiers are protecting you from. Because it ceased to be a government of the people, kids. It became a government of profit and war. Profit and war. See, banking influences from overseas took over handpicking who was going to get selected and elected because, you know, they would push favorable legislation for the corporations and banks to skirt the systems, you know, crush competition, and pretty much bilk the American public out of their wealth. Then came the wars, babies. See, this is already known to the banking cartel for a very, very long time that, you know, they've been funding both sides of nearly every major war in history. You know, war equals profit, all right? The funding, implementation, and finally, battle ensues. Now, people, we'll skip right to World War II. See, people argue that the Japanese attacked us, and so we had to get involved in World War II. See, the fact is, our government allowed the Japanese to attack Pearl Harbor. They had full knowledge of the planned attack by Japan 2 days before it ever happened. And don't give me this, oh, well, they couldn't get people together in time. No, because we hadn't entered the war, you simpletons. See, they knew all about it. The propaganda, the prison camps, they were all planned. Planned population control from the get-go. Daddy Bush, the Rothschilds, all in cahoots with Hitler and the Nazis, as well as in cahoots with those around here. Planned population control. Not one freedom gained. Not one defended, several lost. You don't believe me? Look at the prison camps. We had prison camps on American soil. We scream to the high heavens how terrible it was for the Germans to do the same thing. But yet here we did the same thing, and it's okay because, well, we're America. See, the combined military might, kids, of Germany, Italy, and Japan were pretty much no match for the Allied forces. They, you know, they were incredibly outnumbered. And with both sides funded by the same people, it was actually planned to go the way it did. And that's something that my little constitutional worshippers out there, that was the last time that Congress performed their constitutional mandate and declared war lawfully. Now, considering that many of you constitutionalists jump my ass and others' asses about being inconsiderate to the soldiers, don't you say a bad thing about the soldiers. I would have thought that this simple fact would mean something to you. So up in arms about your constitution, and yet it doesn't matter. War, terrorism, they're going to get us because flag. Let's skip, fast forward there to North Korea. What was the inherent threat to the United States' freedoms or the freedoms of the people? Oh, there wasn't one. Well, what was the reason that Congress gave for declaring war for us to send a bunch of boys over there to die? Oh, wait. They didn't. There was no valid reason for us to even get involved in North Korea that would benefit the American people. Skip ahead another decade or so. Let's go to Vietnam, kids. Everybody knows about Vietnam. They made so many movies about it. Forrest Gump went there. He made it through just fine. Bubba didn't make it, but that's okay. It's Forrest bought a shrimping boat. Once again, no legitimate threat to the United States or the freedoms of the United States public. None whatsoever. No declaration of war. As a matter of fact, they couldn't even think up a good enough reason, so they lied about it with the Gulf of Tonkin incident, saying, well, they fired on us. And it never happened. Not once. And people, we came so close to standing up to these tyrants and putting them in their damn place and possibly almost somewhat restoring what little bit of validity the Constitution had at that moment in time. But we didn't. Our parents didn't make it, man. Why? What stopped them? A lot of people say, oh, it was the drugs. I don't think so. I think it was more fear. You say, more fear? What are you talking about? Well, I want you people out there who seem to think, all you talk show pundits and all you cheese dicks that are sitting behind your radio station computers and whatnot, keyboard warriors, what have you, so all the United States military forces would never fire on the American people. Two words, Kent State. They already have fired on the American people on American soil. National Guard were the ones responsible for killing the four in Ohio. Hell, Crosby, Stills, and Nash wrote a damn song about it. Oh, yeah, Neil Young is with them, too. So don't think that they won't do it again. Don't think that they won't be out patrolling your streets, walk up the hill a little ways, turn around, and just open fire on you. Because it's happened before. And there's one thing that history proves is that it's bloody repetitive. You can go down the list to any of these wars. Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Syria, all the places that we're trying to, you know, lay our influence and bring democracy to the Middle East. Legitimate threat to our national security. No legitimate threat to the freedoms of the American people. No declaration of war for you constitutionalists out there. These are the facts, kids. This is not, it's not me just sitting here blowing my horn. I'm trying to tell you the friggin' truth. We could have stopped it. All the blood is on our hands because we have had the power to stop it the entire time. We still can. I'm going to be taking a bit of a break here because I've got my blood pressure going up. I need to calm down. I need to have a cigarette and chill out. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut into break here a few minutes early. But before I do, I've got one question for all the active duty, non-active duty, all people who have ever donned the uniform. Just whom do you serve? Do you serve the government of the United States of America, or do you serve the people? Your mothers, your fathers, your brothers, your sisters, your wives, your daughters, sons. Do you serve them, or do you serve the suit dummy sitting on Capitol Hill? You need to ask yourself that. You need to make sure before you go toting a gun halfway across the planet as to who and where your loyalties lie. Because let me tell you what, if they lie with the corporate government, you have betrayed your loved ones, your family members, and the very Constitution that you seem to swear to uphold. We'll be back on this Memorial Day version of The Last Voice for Liberty.
Pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling down that eastern seaboard. I got my diesel wound up and she's running like I never before.
Hey folks, this is the Mouth, and if you need something moved, you need to go through Dadco Transportation. Family-owned and operated, Dadco Transportation specializes in pad wrap fixtures to retail stores throughout the country, as well as furniture transportation, pad trapped and box furniture from California to Arizona to all points east. Be it truckload, LTL, rollout, exclusive use, or expedited, Dadco is here to service their clients safely, efficiently, and quickly. So if you need something moved within the continental U.S., contact Dadco Transportation at 609-296-9121 or contact them directly at dadcotrans.com. That's dadcotrans.com.
But I can never make believe it's all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
Hi, this is David Bozell, Vice President of Crystal Pure CBD. Have you been trying to get CBD, but you just don't like what's available? Sure, lots of people can get CBD, but most people don't realize that it's only 15% CBD and 85% black stuff. Why the black stuff? We don't know either. We'd like to introduce Crystal Pure CBD, made with 99.99% pure cannabidiol. That's pure CBD, just like sugar. We mix it with hemp seed oil and make some of the best stuff on earth. Crystal Pure CBD.
This is Liberty Lisa. You've reached the Truth Training. Non-judicial foreclosures, where they're just taking people's homes without even giving them due process. That's wrong. It's corrupt. It's criminal. It's fraud.
The Truth Training with Liberty Lisa. Tuesday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Truth Emergers Radio.
The cause is bigger than just me. The cause is for everyone.
Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty, we are free at last!
Einstein, she's already ready to rally against the guns.
Well, you're set up for failure, but it doesn't mean you have to fail.
A disarmed nation is ready for tyranny. What about the over 2 million crimes that were prevented by people being armed? This is a representative republic. Democracy is frickin' mob rule. That's what true democracy is. It's mob rule.
It's just like a matter of, you know, you gotta be careful of who you listen to and whose input you take, and it's all fun and games.
One and only original Guerrilla Radio with Austin Thomas and Liberty Lisa. Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on the Truth Emerges Radio Network.
You took an oath to uphold the Constitution, not to uphold gangster banksters and a bunch of tyrannous political puppets.
It has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
Hi, friends. When it comes to reaching your audience, the best approach is in person. If you have a band, business, or charity event, you want to reach people in the best ways and venues possible. If you're touring in the Midwest, you need DMI Promotions. Their friendly staff is ready, willing, and able to assist you in venue locations and event promotions to make your show or event successful. Contact Tori Webb at 515-865-4463 or ToriWebbDMI at gmail.com. DMI Promotions, your Midwest promotional team and proud sponsor of Truth Emerges Radio.
301.
Oh, yeah, babies, we are back right here on the number one Monday Night Talk Radio Show, the last voice for liberty I'm the Mouth, of course, laughing and scratching at you, man. We're going to be taking some of your calls coming up this hour, ladies and gentlemen. You want to be a part of it, get in on this Memorial Day. You got some issue with what I said in the first hour, by all means, bring it up, prove me wrong, say something, ladies and gentlemen. That number 347-855-8301. Press the number one if you want to talk. And right now I'm going to bring in somebody, one of my favorite people to hang out and discuss, especially these relevant topics with that we're discussing here today, this Memorial Day fallacy that I find, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only from Occupy Corporatism, the lovely Suzanne Posel. As long as they quit bringing up pop-ups on me, then we'll be all right. Suzanne, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm running on all 16 cylinders tonight, man. I watched my coffee intake, so I hope I was coming across clear and concise there in the first hour. I'm just been explaining to the people tonight why they should be pissed off today, as opposed to, you know, let's throw back some beers and barbecue.
Exactly. Right. It's
and
terrible.
How are you?
I'm fine. It's terrible that we don't think, whatever reason, if it was right or wrong, if it was a banker war, regardless, much, and they want to protect the freedoms of this country for themselves, for their family, and for everyone else, that they decided to go through basic training and serve as many tours as they did, and if they were unfortunate to not come home, well, they gave their life. That means their family is without them now. And this reverence,
You're breaking up real bad there, Suzanne. Yeah, you're getting all sorts of echoey and cutting out.
Oh. Hmm.
There you go.
I'm good.
And then it went echoey again. I don't know if this is me or not, so go ahead. Let's see if we got you.
Do you have me?
No, I don't got you. Ah, there you go. Now I think I hear you. Now I don't. Oh, no. We're getting together. They don't want us to talk to each other. What's going on here?
Can you hear me now?
There we go.
Do you hear me now?
Oh, yeah. I hear you loud and
clear
now. Am
I good? I had to unplug and replug.
Okay. Yeah, we got you loud and clear. Now I can hear you. Okay, so what were you...
Remembrance. This is a day of reverence. This is a day to remember that someone, many people, not just... Sorry. At least that we can remember. They're alive today that served in World War II. That's a long time, but it's really not a long amount of time when you think about the fact that people who served in World War II are still. There's a massive amount of conflicts that we've had since to today, and people have died. How many millions of people have died? It's not an excuse to have a party or go shopping for, you know, sale deals.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that bothers me the most about it is, you know, people using this. I'm a guy that loves a day off work just like the rest of anybody else. But, you know, is this really what it's all about? You know, just taking that day off and going and getting the latest deals and having the barbecue and what have you? Or is there something that we should actually be paying attention to? It's like, why can't we put a stop to all these young people and people all over the planet being killed by these endless wars when we have the power to do it?
We can. The men should stop enlisting in the armed forces, and the generation teach them not to enlist. And so they're going to have a really hard time fighting wars thing going really quick.
Mm-hmm. You keep breaking
Wait,
up
maybe
so
this
bad
might
there.
Backfire. Am I breaking up still?
Yeah. Now you're clear again. It pops in and out, man. I don't know what's going on. I've checked every connection here, so I don't. It might be you. Hello. Maybe it was me.
Do you hear me?
Yeah, say something else.
Hear me now?
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. Wow.
I don't know what that was. It kicked me out of the studio. I don't know what the hell's going on. All my connections looked strong, and then bam, I was gone.
Oh, wow.
Guess I'm wrestling a few jimmies today.
Joe.
Hello, hello. I'm back again. They keep kicking me out of my own studio. Okay, we'll try this again.
Okay.
We're back here.
Can you hear me
hour,
okay?
I think so. Yeah, I've got you clear.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, this hasn't happened for a little while. Like I said, it must have been rustling a few jimmies today. Hey, I'm sorry if the truth hurts. It hurt me when I found it out too, kids. But we've got to start looking at these things logically and with an open mind. We can't just put on the red, white, and blue blinders and try and run this race. You're going to get run over from the side, man.
Yeah, at least make sure it's made in the United States and not in China.
Yeah, there you go. It gets so messy. That's just so much of that. Oh, let me... pledge allegiance to my flag from China, and are you people kidding me? Come on now. Know what you're doing, and the people that have jumped down my throat and other people's throats who have spoken out about soldiers, occupying places all over the planet. When we speak out about this stuff and how they shouldn't even be there, they take it as a personal threat against these people, a personal shot against these people who have enlisted. Now, I can understand the need for, a militia, an armed force, to protect us from, say, China coming over here and invading us, or Russia, or what have you. Because that's let's not throw this out of the realm of possibilities, because that could possibly happen. But to enlist and go to the extent that we have 900 bases across the planet, this is not defending us. That's not defending our freedom, Suzanne.
No, it's empire.
Yeah, exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth. Empire.
What the founding fathers expected was that we would have a domestic army, a national domestic army, that would defend us domestically if we were literally threatened on our own soil. But not to the extent that we would build bases in other countries and commandeer portions of their land and say, well, it belongs to the United States because we're building an embassy on it and we're building bases on it. That was not even close to the intention of our founding fathers for our nation. Absolutely not. That's empire.
It actually is. It's not defense when you take offense against another country. It's not defense to go invade another country, steal part of their land, set it up to say, well, this is ours now. I mean, you're the bully. We've got an ad on the Infinite Source Broadcast Network where you're being the bully. It's mine now. Give me that jacket because it's mine now. Just give us this big old plot of land because it's mine now. What? Under whose authority? What are you talking about? And this is what they do to us.
Well, think about it this way, that Shell gasoline was just given the authority by the U.S. Department of Interior to conduct drilling expeditions in the Antarctic. When did we get a 51st state?
I was not aware of that.
When did the Antarctic belong to the United States?
They must have slipped that one past me. I must have missed that memo, sis.
Okay, well, I don't understand, you know, as long as we're talking about this subject, I don't understand where we get the gall to have the authority over a piece of land that we don't own. What's going on? Are our heads so inflated that we don't get the fact that areas and other continents are run by other governments and we don't have to agree with how they run their government? If we want to do business or trade with them, we might have to put aside our differences, but everyone has the right to exist as they want, including us. That
mm-hmm.
was like the big deal about the United States, where it was like one place where you could do what you wanted and you were free. Right?
Yeah. And that's not exactly the train on the tracks now anymore, is it? I mean, at one
no.
point in time in this country, it was. And people go, oh, well, then there's violence, and that was the old West, and blee, 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 and they've got a million semantics and a million excuses as to why, you know, the state needed to be created and everything else. But we were free. You know, freedom, you know, it's that double-edged sword that everybody's afraid of because you don't know how to handle it. Like, man, if I grab this side, I'm going to get cut. If I grab that side, I'm going to get cut. Too much freedom, and you've got crazy people running around buck naked in the street high on cocaine, you know, singing, you know, Elvis Presley song. Nobody wants to see that. Somebody's going to put a stop to it. Other than you've got not enough
honesty,
freedom, which is what we've got
but
now.
But in all honesty, that's not going to happen. Because people naturally, it's part of our genetic makeup to help each other and to have compassion and empathy toward each other. So it's very unlikely that if we got rid of it, that everybody would be wild in the street, buck naked and snorting coke and looting. Of course, there would be that element. The majority of Americans would not freak out and just, you know, do whatever the hell they wanted, like nothing mattered anymore. Of course things matter.
Mm-hmm.
And we would take that into another form. See, we are confined within this little box of what we think a government looks like. And it's been replicated across the globe in different countries, and there are some changes to it and some ideological changes, some structural and infrastructural changes, but basically it's the same model, just cookie-cuttered all over the world. But that's only because we are so small-minded that this is just one way that we thought we could govern ourselves. There's a myriad of ways we could have done this. And good thing is, with the future coming, like right now, and now, and now,
mm-hmm.
we could change it. We could go back to the drawing board and come up with a different way of governing people. That maybe now that we know this doesn't work and it sucks, we could have a foundation to say, well, you know, we tried that and it didn't work. Let's do something different.
Well, yeah, that's one of the things that bugs me about when I argue with statists, you know, as being an individualist anarchist, you know, I sit there, one of the things that they like to throw out is that, oh, well, people will just be running wild in the streets and killing each other and everything else. We need to have rules. We need to have these laws in place. And I go, we do. And people are still running around going wild in the streets and killing each other. What good is this government or these laws doing in place? No, people aren't going to follow them anyway. If you're going to have the consequences or rules to set up, fine. They can be set up. Anarchism means no rulers. It does not mean no rules, okay? It's not like I'm going to sit here and let some guy, you know, pull my neighbors out of their house and, you know, shoot them in the face and take over their place. It's not going to happen. You know, no, I wouldn't allow it. I wouldn't expect that any other, you know, red-blooded American would allow it. But this is their nightmare scenario. No government. Who will take care of us? Who will build the roads? Who will do this? Who will do that? And the big symptom here is the lack of personal responsibility. People refuse to be responsible for themselves.
It's because we're afraid of the unknown, because we've never been in a situation, at least the last three or four generations who are on this planet now, have never been in a situation where we've had to do things on our own. And even though we had a freer socialist-like democracy back in the 50s and 60s, and we have more of a police state big brother democracy here in the 2000s, we still have never been in a time where we've had to do things on our own. And when we look back at those times, it's like, oh, it looks so arduous. And we look at the Amish and say, how do they do that? we're so sedentary and used to convenience that the boomers, the Gen Xers, and millennials have all grown up in a time of technological convenience that has never existed on this planet ever before. And it has made us enjoy our sedentary existence to the extent there that we buy prepackaged foods and we don't even want to make a lasagna ourselves. We don't want to even make a batch of cookie ourselves. We buy Betty Crocker, the pre-made. We even go to the extent that we buy the pre-made in the refrigerated section and just break it off and put it down. And think about this. For the millions of years that Homo sapiens have been on this planet in the form of Homo sapien, not before then, this is a very small portion of our time that we have ever lived under the rule of, quote, civilized society. This is it's a new phenomenon. Really in our infancy and understanding how right after we decided planting things in agriculture exception. So we're just playing around with ideas and we're not thinking about consequences. But if we want to be a little bit more adult about this, we should realize that we are behaving like toddlers. And if we want to get to the next step and behave like, you know, preteens or teenagers and gain a little bit more maturity, we're going to have to admit that the way in which we govern ourselves, the way in which we've structured our country and our societies don't work for the majority of people, and it's unfair, and it needs to go back to the drawing board.
I think you're right. I think you've got a very valid point, especially with the attitudes that people carry. Unfortunately, I think that we are in that preteen, especially with a lot of the people that I encounter through social media and being I've become a bit more confrontational about these things because I'm really quite sick and tired of people just sitting on their asses. So, you know, I'm starting to push these topics a bit more in the social media and getting these people a little bit more agitated because I think they need to. But I find that they're still stuck in that junior high preteen type of mentality where it's like, nope, it's my way or that's it. And their way will either be, you know, the status way, the government way, or what have you, but it's that way and that's it. And you don't like, well, you're a poopy head and then all sorts of other foul language, you know, they're ad hominem attacks. It's absolutely ridiculous when you don't have any grounds, but other than to, you know, call me a jerk or, oh, you're just you're un-American. And no, dissension is the greatest form of patriotism. I got called unpatriotic today, Suzanne. Hurt my feelings so bad.
Well, I would consider that, considering what is patriotism has been redefined and how it has been implemented over the last 50 years, I would say that that's a compliment.
I would say that I don't fall for these newfangled definitions. I would call myself a real patriot and not one of those fake. New definition patriots. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not a New England patriot. I ain't no Tom Brady or none of that BS, kids.
You're not going to deflate anybody.
Yeah, I ain't going to deflate anybody's balls or anything like that. Okay. Kids, this is what our founding fathers were doing. They were the ones sitting here discussing, going, well, you know what the British are doing? Man, that's messed up. They can't be doing this to us. What gives them their authority to do this? And that's
religion.
Just what we're sitting here asking. The same questions
religion.
Again. Say that again, hon.
Religion. See, I've come up with a hypothesis, and I'm sort of studying this, and it might take me a while. It might take me a couple of years. I don't know. Maybe I might end up writing a book about it. But I really do think that if we got rid of religion and poverty, a lot of these other things would just fall away. Because of the attitude that we get when we are indoctrinated toward each other and toward ourselves and toward our environment and the planet and everything else, and the attitude that we have toward other people when we see poverty, when we are impoverished, and how we treat each other, treat other people, our country, and so on and so forth. I think if we got rid of those two things, I think a lot of the other problems and the bickering that we have with each other would probably fall away. Enough so that we would be able to deal with each other on a more mature level.
Well, I would be inclined to agree with you for the most part. I think I'd throw in government in there because I don't believe that you'll ever get rid of poverty unless you get rid of government. Government is the main source of the reason why people are suffering in poverty right at this moment in time. I mean, the economy in this country and the amount of tax money that this corrupted government collects is more than enough that people, if you really want to worry about the welfare and everything else of everybody, there's more than enough money being collected in the theft known as taxation to cover these people, to take care of them. But yet, where is it going? It's going towards war. It's going towards dominance. It's going towards building the empire, strengthening the government. It's doing nothing for the American people, which, of course, was what they told us they were taking our income tax for. So, ladies and gentlemen, are we going to sit here and continue to be lied to? Are we going to continue to be fleeced and allow our people to slide into poverty and destitute? And then you get to that organized religion part. Damn, I hate organized religion. If there's one thing in this world that pisses me off more than Memorial Day, it's organized religion. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my entire life to take a book, the actual words of Jesus or God or whatever you want to call him today, maybe take up a page, maybe two, and you've got a 400-page book. Now, I'm all for, following along with the word of God and the word of Jesus or whoever, like I said, whoever you want to call him this week. I still haven't figured out that, paradigm there. It's been screwing with me for years. That's great. Do so. Believe in God. Have a relationship with God. You don't need a church. You don't need a book. You don't need, 100 stories revised 18 times and taken from scripts that had nothing to do with it just to please a king. Somebody is, I have the King James Bible. I was like, that's a form of control. You need to understand this. That's a form of social conditioning right there. One of the earliest forms of it. And organized religion is just as horrible as this corrupt government. I think you're absolutely right on that.
They go hand in hand. Look in history. They go hand in hand. Just go back to the Middle Ages or the Dark Ages when a king wanted to go to war. What?
Wasn't it 1215 when the King of England gave control over to the Vatican?
Yes. Vatican became a state. At that point, the Vatican became a state unto its own. It was able to have a central bank and all that other stuff. And, it's really good that they have a central bank because in 1944 they were doing deals with the Nazis. So it's really good that they had that central bank and they had that state status that they were able to do that. I just wrote a story today about the Vatican. This really disgusts me on a very deep level because just in the last year, they have increased their profits by $75 million. And this money is attributed not only to gold prices. By the way, every time you buy gold, you're giving the Vatican some money, okay?
That's right.
And profitable trades in government bonds, but also the millions of dollars that they receive through donations. And who do you think is the highest donating portion of people in the world?
I would say governments.
The middle class of the United States.
Oh, no.
People who just got their homes taken, their jobs taken, everything taken away from them, their businesses that they built up, and they are the highest donators to the Catholic Church in the world.
Oh, no.
Where the wealthy in the United States only give 2.5% of their annual income, people who make $50,000 or $70,000 a year give 7.6%, almost 8% of their annual income to the church. And what does this money used for? So that they can go create new converts in other countries and make more money. And they call that charity.
Boy. Oh, in this line of what we do here at the show, and you come across topics and you come across information that, it smacks you in the nuts. And you just did. I'm sitting here thinking, right after you said that, my heart sank. And right, the voice in my head goes, man, you could have lived your whole life happy and not never known that. I could have.
It's ridiculous that the people who have been hit the hardest are the most giving. And they're giving to an organization that is just simply turning that money back out into gold futures, into government bonds, into dealings on the stock market, into money laundering for Chase Manhattan. Don't forget about J.P. Morgan Chase. And on top of that, the rest of the money is being given to bishops and priests and the people who are molesting our kids, besides Josh Duggar. Mm-hmm. And they are using that money to create more converts so that they can go and give their money on Sunday into the offering plate. It's just a continuous flow of money. That's what you consider charity. That's what you consider a donation. And sure, it's cheap for them to make a meal for a couple of people. You know, quite often it's very, very cheap for them to go and do something that appears to be humanitarian. Okay, if they spend a couple of million dollars, it doesn't matter because they're getting $2 billion on the other end of that. Any corporation would definitely spend $2 million to get $2 billion at the end of the year.
Definitely.
That's called an investment.
Mm-hmm. There we go, kids. I mean, that's the middle class, really?
The middle class of the United States. The people who have been hit the hardest, people who...
Just when you think you're gaining ground, you realize just how far away the finish line is.
That's why I say, get rid of it. Get rid of it. It's not doing any good. It never has. Go back in history. You don't even have to look at it with an open mind. Just read it verbatim. It hasn't ever done anything good. There are some good people. There are good people in every century. There are good people mm-hmm. who get duped into doing bad things all the time. You can't take Josh Duggar, for example. The boy is a pedophile.
You're gonna have to tell me who the hell Josh Duggar is because I have no idea who you're talking about.
Oh, well, I just talked about him on my show tonight. So this is the son of Michelle Duggar. Her and her husband have a show. They're a Christian couple who do not believe in contraceptives, so they have 19 children, and some of them are adults now, and Josh Duggar is one of their sons, and he admitted that he molested 5 children at the age of 15 when he was 15, 2 of them being his sisters, and that this was a very difficult time in their life. It's absolutely disgusting. Mike Huckabee, presidential hopeful, pastor, by the way, Christian evangelical pastor, came out in support of Josh Duggar. Ray Comfort, I just saw on Twitter, was pledging his support to Josh Duggar. This is very, very sick. When a group of people who claim to be the bastion of morality and the keepers of everything that is moral, and yet we can't have people who love each other get married, but we can have a pedophile. Once a pedophile, always a pedophile. I went and looked this up. There have been many studies in the last couple of years, but most recently a study last year, which showed that pedophilia is a sexual orientation, just like homosexuality or heterosexuality. So that's just what you're attracted to. Now, I'm not putting a value judgment on it. I personally think that's disgusting. But
absolutely,
that's what they found. So once you're a pedophile, you're always a pedophile. It's like, I'm heterosexual. I can't not be heterosexual. I am. These people need help. And in order to deal with this problem, instead of sweeping it under a religious rug like the right wing wants to do right now and still claim that the Duggar family are a bastion of morality, these parents raised these children under Christian values and Christian tenets. And so maybe there's something not very good about those tenets. Let me give you one example before I hand it back over to you, Lee. Lot. Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, right? The two angels go down there. They're looking for some morality. They bump into Lot. They say, oh, this guy's a good man. All of a sudden, everybody in town sees these angels, and they're just so good looking that they just want to gang rape them, right?
And what does Lot do? This bastion of morality, this one beacon of shining righteousness in this city. He says, hey, here's my two daughters. You gang rape them while I feed these guys their dinner and leave them alone. And meanwhile, the two daughters were married, and he didn't ask their husbands before he offered them up to the mob. And this is a man who is moral and righteous in the eyes of God? Ick! Yuck! Disgusting!
Yeah, see, I can't side with those types of stories that come out. This is where I get into my big discrepancy with the Bible. And I don't want people out there to get me wrong. I mean, it's pretty well documented about my feelings about God, and him and I haven't always seen eye to eye. But yes, I do believe. I'm sorry, forgive me. You know, goddamn, let me at least have one thing to believe in. I can't believe I just said that way. But anyway, yeah, the long and the short of it is you know, you can't sit there and base your whole mentality and lifestyle making excuses for the stories written by men in this book as to why you do things. And as far as the molestation of children, sex with children, are you serious? What kind of a pathetic loser must you be if that's how you need to get your rocks off? You need to go down and start drilling for oil in friggin' Antarctica, the 51st state, which is probably going to piss off Puerto Rico, but ask them, they're tiny anyway. You need to get away. You need to seek some professional help, because let me tell you what, regardless of what all these sickos that are telling you it's okay, it ain't okay, bud. It ain't okay. I'll tell you right now, I do try to hold myself to this non-aggression principle type thing. And, you know, I don't want to be a violent man. But I tell you what, I see you put a hand on a child. I hear you put a hand on a child, touch a hand on a child, whip your pecker out in front of a children. I will be the first son of a bitch that will rip that son of – I'll rip it off like a damn paper towel. And then I will cauterize the wound with a blowtorch. And then I will slowly torture you and skin you alive. I've got to shut up because I'm going to put myself into some sort of legal jeopardy here talking about this stuff. But any type of God fearing religion or any type of religion could even endorse this whatsoever, let alone sweep it under the rug. It's, oh man, I don't like to curse on the show, but that's fucked.
Exactly. That is exactly my point. I don't care what you believe in. Thor, Dionysus, Jesus, the man underneath your bed, I don't know. I don't care. But if you believe in something and the people who are the leaders of your belief system are condoning someone who is of good Christian moral standing who is a pedophile, that should at least give you just a slight pause to think about what you actually believe in and why you adhere to this. Maybe it's just that you were born in this United States and we are predominantly a Christian country. If you've been born in India, you would believe in Krishna. If you were born in China, you would believe in the state. It's just the geographic location of where you were born and the programming within that society. But we all have right and wrong, and it has nothing to do with that book. I know, and I'm not a believer of anything, but I know it's not right to touch a child in a sexual way. And so does my husband. And he doesn't believe in anything either. So go figure.
You know? Hey, look, ladies and gentlemen, it might be almost historic. A person who believes in God and a person who doesn't agreeing out in a sexual manner. It's a first. Oh, my goodness. Walls are crumbling. Let me look out the window. It might be raining cats and dogs. You know, I don't know. Mass hysteria might hit the streets. Look, people with opposing viewpoints agree on something. It's a simple concept, and if we apply it differently in different aspects, it doesn't just have to be about we all agree that, hey, touching kids in a bad way is wrong. How about living like slaves is wrong? You know, can we all agree on it? Suzanne, I know you don't like living like a slave. I don't.
No, not at all. When I go out to the store and, you know, you deal with the employee and sometimes they're just in a really foul mood. And I just have to remember, if I were them, I would be upset too. I remember yeah. when I was them. I remember when I worked those shitty retail jobs. I was upset too. And any time you give someone who's upset and feel beaten down even one little iota of responsibility, they take it to the nth degree and become a dictator about it. You know, like, mm-hmm. think about this. When you're driving down the road and they're doing some road work, right outside my on the main road out here, and we had to stop, and the woman who was standing there with the stop sign, she had this attitude like, hey, I've got the stop sign, and you have to do what I say. And my husband was getting kind of torqued about it. And I said, well, think about it. She works a crappy job. She's standing out here all day. She and this other woman are directing traffic while the guys get to play with all the equipment over there. And they have this one little bit of control, and they're going to exert it to the nth degree, because it makes up for that feeling inside of them of slavery and of being devalued. And we all feel that at work. We all feel that when we go out into...
It's interesting that you use that story. It kind of hits me. See, I was the guy that was running the equipment. And you know what my favorite thing to do was? Go give those people holding the stop signs breaks. Because that is a cush job, dude. You sit out there, and depending upon whether you're doing, you know, United States federal highway or state highway or what have you, the amount of pay that they get for standing there with that stop sign, trust me, you could pay 6 McDonald's employees most likely with that amount of pay.
That's disgusting.
When people start taking that, there are jobs on federal highways, I was making $22 an hour, man. Easy. Easy. And, you know, that was when I was, you know, holding the shovel and shoveling 300-degree asphalt. Talk about working like a slave. You sweat like one, I'll tell you that.
Well, then
I used to love it. You know, hey, stop breaking your back and, you know, bent over this hole shoveling and digging and jackhammering things. Go give this girl holding a stop sign on the side of the road a break. Yep. I get down there and go, take as long as you want. Please. Go. Yeah, matter of fact, go drive 20 miles to the farthest town away from the job site and take your break there. I will sit here on the side of the road and turn a stop sign. I think those ladies at that point in time, if they're trying to exert their authority about stuff, they're just, you know, being a bitch, to be quite honest.
Oh, no. Don't say
Sometimes they are. Sometimes they are, man. I mean, I can't call it. I just see, you know, calls it like I sees it, and having been experienced in that line of work, yeah, that's probably the diagnosis there.
Okay, well, I'll give you that one. But I remember working, I worked at Target, like, right out of high school in the back room. And we couldn't wait to leave. That job sucked. Climb all the way up to the top of this. And I'm only 5'1", okay, guys? I'm short. And I'm climbing up, like, 4 stories in the back room to get, like, this one object. And I can't drop it down into the bin. I have to carry it down. And I'm not coordinated at all. So you might want to put, like, a trampoline or something down there, a mattress, because I will fall.
Mm-hmm.
It's a horrible job. It's absolutely horrible.
I was
when I came home every night. That job sucked. And I can imagine, you know, when people turn those jobs into careers, you know, when you see a manager at McDonald's, you shouldn't see the manager at McDonald's. That guy should be in shame and sitting in the back with his head between his legs, because that job was meant to be transitional. That was not meant to be a career.
McDonald's managers make $60,000.
That's disgusting.
Oh, yeah. $60,000 a year. When I look at McDonald's managers, well, first of all, I see, you know, stoners, because you got to be baked in order to want to go do that for the rest of your life. Well, $60,000? How much weed can I buy with that? Oh,
well,
I only got to work
these. Well, because you're going to be nauseous after you eat that stuff.
No, oh, fuck, I wouldn't eat it. I worked at McDonald's for about 3 hours doing maintenance work one day. And, yeah, I was like, you know what? I can't be around this garbage. I can't stand it. And that was when I was, you know, drinking pretty heavy, and I would eat anything. I would literally eat things that made a billy goat puke. But, I couldn't eat there, and I wouldn't eat there when I worked there. I was working on their equipment, and it's like they hadn't cleaned the place in a year. I had to scrape an inch of grease off of the fryer that I was working on, and I got about halfway through that, and I was like, this is too disgusting. I was like, and for $10 an hour, suck it, man. I'm out of here. I was like, there's a reason these places are going out of business, man. And, you know, that was in a McDonald's in a small town, man, where it was the main restaurant in the town. That's how small the town was. It had a McDonald's on the highway.
That was it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where everybody went.